legend that Tony has something in common with, Gareth Southgate. Check out the waistcoat on Tony this morning. Andy, I think we need to up our game. I really want a waistcoat now. Do you want your phone back? Yeah, there we go. Good morning, everyone. Hi. Welcome, especially if you're new to us or you've only been coming for a short while. It's great to have you with us. My name's Ed, Ed Green. I'm the associate leader here at HBC. And over the next kind of few minutes, we're going to be talking about Proverbs chapter 2. So if you do have a Bible, can you flick it open to Proverbs chapter 2? And I'm just going to start off this morning by reading it to us. So if you don't have a Bible, in fact, don't worry because... Anna, would you mind flicking through it on the screen whilst I read it? Is that all right?
There we go. Look at that.
So, here we go. So if you don't have a Bible, you can read it on the screen. If you do, then we'll follow Proverbs chapter 2. Last week, Andy kicked us off. It's all right, you can go back to that slide. Sorry, Anna. Last week, Anna kicked us off. Anna didn't kick us off. Oh, my goodness. Andy kicked us off with week one. Can you put that week one slide back up for me? Thanks, mate. And we focused in last week on the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. We talked about the fear of the Lord, if you remember, not last week, the week before, when we started back here after the Christmas time. We talked about the fear of the Lord. We talked about what God wants to do in us and through us as people as we get closer to God. And Andy inspired us with being people of vision as well and going after all those things. And this morning, we've got Proverbs chapter 2. So you can do what you were going to do. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as if for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And we're only at verse 8. "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path for wisdom will enter your heart. And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you. Also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left her, the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or retain the paths of life." It's got a bit dark for a moment there, didn't it? "Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it." We're going to focus in this morning. The title of this morning is A Path to Take. And particularly just thinking about verse 9, "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path." And verse 20, "Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep the paths of the righteous, a path to take." So we're going to talk about wisdom this morning. I'm going to tell you everything I've ever learned because I'm very wise. It's going to take about a minute and then we can all crack on with the rest of the morning. That's not what's going to happen. So I wonder, just to kick us off, turn to the person next to you and just talk about maybe wise people you've known in your life. Who has been someone you've looked to as a wise person that's helped you make decisions or whatever? Or maybe it's someone from history you think of as being a wise person. Just for the next 2 minutes, just talk to someone next to you, just for a moment. Who's wise? Okay. Let's come back together. Hopefully, you're all able to talk about somebody that's maybe helped you in your life, someone that's been wise for you. And really, we're looking at this book of Proverbs. It's called Wisdom. The series is Wisdom for the Whole of Life. We believe wholeheartedly as a church, and if you're new to us, hopefully you'll pick this up. If you're new to faith and to Christianity, hopefully you'll start to grab hold of some of this stuff. But we believe wholeheartedly that the Bible is the written word of God. It is inspired by God, written by human beings. But it's written by God because he's inspired the human beings. And we believe that in this book is revealed to us God, basically. And the story of God, the story of his people. The New Testament talks about Jesus and just his whole life. And we as followers of Jesus at HBC are giving our lives for Jesus because he gave his life for us. And we believe that in this book there is keys to life, to understanding God that will help us to live our lives as followers of Jesus. And part of life is making decisions, is choosing stuff, is just doing the things that we do. But actually, sometimes we need wisdom. Often we need wisdom in our lives to do life well, to make good decisions, good choices, to do the things that Jesus wants us to do and to walk the way of Jesus. So that's why we're looking at this book of Proverbs. We want, as a community, as a church family, to be wise people who live life in all of its fullness. Jesus said, my favorite verse in the Bible, John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that you may have life and life in all its fullness. Another version says life in abundance, life that overflows. And part of that life is making decisions, choosing, being wise, not being silly, not making dumb decisions. Just by show of hands, put your hand up if you've ever made a dumb decision. I thought so. Put your hand up if you'd like to never make a dumb decision again. Hopefully, after this morning, you'll have the ability to do that. That's setting my target really high. Linz and I, when we got married, we went on honeymoon to Cyprus. It's a beautiful place, a place that I'd grown up hearing about because my mum used to live there. She, her dad, my grandfather, was a spy. I'm just going to say it. I think, anyway, we think. Apparently, he worked for the government as a civil servant or something like that. But he was stationed over in Cyprus in the 70s when there was a lot of conflict between Turkey and the Greek Cypriots at the time. And so my mum went over there as a small child, and she tells a story of finding my grandfather's gun underneath his pillow. He used to sleep with a gun under his pillow. Such was the fear of what could happen and the reason why we say he was a spy. We have no evidence for that. It's just cool to say. So I heard about my mum talking about Cyprus. She went back there as a teenager when things had calmed down. She worked out there for a couple of years with some friends of hers, friends of the family. So I'd always wanted to go. So we went there for our honeymoon. And I like exploring places. I don't just like to sit by the pool, although, let's be honest, 80% of my time I'd like to sit by the pool because I'm lazy. And that's what you do on holiday. But we thought, let's go for an explore. So we hired a moped, a 100cc moped. I'd never ridden one before in my life, I don't think. So I had to learn to ride it in like 5 seconds, and then Lindsay jumped on the back because that's safe, isn't it? Hey, we had helmets. They were like Wallace and Gromit helmets that didn't cover your face. Oh, I don't know, anyway. And Cypriot drivers as well. They're amazing. They will just stop in the middle of the road to talk to their friend, like with no warning. He's like, whoa! We're on a moped, like, whoa. Anyway, so we set off to we were in Paphos, and I wanted to go and explore Larnaca, because that's where my mum had lived. It's on the coast, a bit further along the coast. So I thought, yeah, we can do that. I looked at the map. I was like, oh, dual carriageway or kind of back roads. That's probably safer, the back roads, isn't it? A little bit nicer. So we set off on the back roads. Yeah, we got lost. I remember being at a junction at a crossroads, and it was like three ways to go, and just being like, we got out a map. I tried to figure out where we were on the map. Eventually, we ended up in Larnaca, but it took a long time. And at one point, the moped just conked out. It just went, I can't be bothered anymore. We're just like, oh, great. Now what do? We left it for like 10 minutes. It cooled down in the hot Cypriot sun. And then we got there. On the way back, I went on the dual carriageway. And it was like nighttime. We were like, because you're allowed to go on the dual carriageway. That's weird, isn't it? Anyway, we're like, and Lindsay was cold, nearly falling asleep on the back of this thing. And I was like, please, God, let us get to the place. But when you're, you know, life is often referred to as being a journey. It's been a, like, you know, it's overused analogy, but it's quite a good analogy, actually, that life is a journey. It's a place we go. We start at one place, we're heading for another place, and we have to navigate that journey. And actually, reading maps is a bit of a lost art now, because we use sat-navs all the time. Most of us do. Even this week, Andy and I, with a bunch of us, we went to Fresh Streams Conference, and on the way there, I had Andy, Sue, and Hazel at one point telling me which way to go. It was very helpful. I won't tell you who I listened to. It was a sat nav. Andy and I are in the front, and I often listen to Andy's directions because usually he knows where he's going, and he does. He did. I'm not. That isn't a joke about Andy. But we followed the sat nav, and it took us off a junction. And Andy was like, "I'm sure we're supposed to come off at the next junction." He was like, "Oh, let's go with it. Let's follow the sat nav." We went away. We'd never been before, but we ended up at the right place. And he's like, I've been coming to this place for like 25 years. I don't know how long, about 15 or something probably. I've never been this way before. Hey, and that's a prophetic word, isn't it? There's never been this way before. Anyway, that was a link. He just came to me. But we got there. We followed the sat-nav. We got there. In our lives, what are we following to get there, wherever there is? What are we following? Who are we listening to? What is it that's influencing our lives as we do day-to-day, everyday stuff? For many of us in this room, what influences us most is following Jesus and reading his word, the Bible. I believe wholeheartedly that God isn't just about us believing in him and going to heaven. He wants us to live this life on earth well. And he's inspired, and it's been written loads of stuff for us to grab hold of to help us to do that. Proverbs chapter 2 paints a beautiful picture of a father speaking to his son. We talked about this last week as well when we were together, not last week, week before. It's very confusing, isn't it? Anyway, but go on YouTube if you didn't see the video. If you weren't here, put into YouTube overview of Proverbs, a really helpful video that Andy showed us to get us to understand the book of Proverbs. So go and check it out. To give you a bit of an overview. But Solomon is attributed to writing a lot of the Proverbs. And it's like he's talking to his son here, a father, an older man, speaking to his young son. And he's wanting his young son to do life well. To do life well. And he says it, doesn't he, really clearly, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, look for it as for silver and for hidden treasure, then the understanding of the fear of the Lord, and find knowledge of God." So he's talking about finding knowledge of God. And then in verse 9, the bits we're focusing in on, "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path." In other words, you'll know what to do. You'll know how to behave. You'll know how to act because you've cried out for wisdom, and you've got the knowledge of God. And it talks about God giving it, speaking it, and pouring out wisdom. And then in verse 20, "You will walk in the ways of good and keep the paths of the righteous." It paints this picture of doing life well, doing life with wisdom, doing life so that you don't make dumb mistakes. And I know we all put our hands up before. We've all made some dumb mistakes. We've all done dumb things. And we do. I do. I believe God wants us to live life in its fullness so that we don't do those silly mistakes. And sometimes we will make mistakes. We will do things. I thought that was the right thing to do. Maybe it wasn't. We learn from it. That's okay. We can learn from it. It doesn't mean about living life perfect, but it means about living life that we are going after a life that is godly, a life that is full of wisdom, a life that is rich. And also, like, this Christian stuff, it's great on a Sunday, but if it doesn't impact our Monday, then what's the point, really? I want us to live lives that aren't just about coming to church and missional community and doing all the lovely holy stuff inverted commas. I want us to live lives that actually on Monday, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we go to college, when we go to the shops, whatever it is we might be doing, having coffee with friends, that we would live a life that is so full of Jesus every single day of the week. If what we do here doesn't impact our tomorrow, our Monday, our Tuesday, wherever you find yourself midweek, then I'm like, wow, we're missing something. We're missing something of it. God wants us to do life so full of him and to do life really, really well. Linz and I once received some wisdom from a pastor in America, and he said this. He said, "Don't make a decision when your decision maker is broken." It's like, what's a decision maker? Often when we're in life, we're doing stuff, and sometimes we have some big decisions to make. Often I find personally that when life isn't going great, that's when we can sometimes do a knee-jerk reaction and make some big decisions. I just want to give us some practical wisdom here, some practical advice that I've grasped and I've seen and talked about this with Andy and Sue, that actually when life is going badly, sometimes we want to escape. And just thinking of wisdom, thinking of decisions, I just thought, I'll just throw this out for us. That actually one of the things about wisdom and Christian faith is it's not just about me. It's not an individualistic thing. We've made it very individualistic in our culture. We live in a culture that's very individualistic, it's very me-centered. But actually the Bible was written to a community of people, the followers of God, the people of God. And actually for us as Christians, one of the things that we should be really valuing is the fact that one of the analogies the New Testament paints is that we are a family. We're a family. And in a family, hopefully, when you've got a decision to make, you might talk to somebody about it. So we can go after the wisdom of God for ourselves, but actually one of the wisest things we can also do is draw other people into those moments where we have decisions to make. Now, I've seen people make decisions when they've been in really bad places, and it's just kind of like, oh, no, I'm not sure that's what God wants for you right now. And I'm sure we can all identify with that, and maybe you yourself have done it. However, there are those times where it is difficult. Draw some people in. Get people around you to help process. What is God saying to me in the midst of this? An example of this is when Linz and I, I'm using Linz and I as an example because, you know, the only person I've got is me. Because I'm me and Linz. I'm me and Linz. Anyway, sorry, that was weird. We were working for another church in Chester. This was a number of years ago. And we were struggling. We were finding it really tough. It was difficult. There was just stuff at different levels going on. We weren't sure what to do. And then we had a job offer, a really good, nice job offer for some friends of ours in Manchester who Lindsay grew up in the church. They came over, a couple of the elders, and said, "We want to plant a church on an estate and we want you guys to lead it and we'll pay you and we'll help you find a house." And I was like, "Oh, that's really good. That's really nice. Quite like that. That's a lovely idea." And we were in such a bad place, we were just like, I think we need to pray. And I think what would be really helpful is if we got together with Andy and Sue, who at the time were mentoring us, and they were coming over to our house. We were going to their house every 6 weeks or so, and just kind of spending time with us, thinking about what God had called us to, what we were doing in Blaken, what we were doing in the city, and just getting alongside us. So we called Andy and Sue, and we said, "Well, look, we've been given a job offer. We'd just love to process it with you, talk about it." So we got together with Andy and Sue, and I remember talking to them about it, and I remember seeing Sue's face just being like, "Don't leave." And Andy, much more coolly than Sue, being like, please don't go. but he didn't quite say it like that. He said it in a much more lovely way. But they prayed about it. They were really good. They were praying about it. But they didn't want to see us lost from the city and from Chester and from Blaken because they believed in what we were doing. So we agreed we'd pray about it. I think it was like the next day I was driving around Blaken and I was just praying. I was like, "God, what do we do? This is a great opportunity. Is it the right thing? You know, it'd be good to get away." And I just felt like God just broke my heart afresh for the people. And I just was crying. I had to like pull over, I think. I was crying because I just knew that it was right to stay. But in my hurt and in my disappointment, in my frustration, I could have made a different decision. But actually, the wisdom I'd received from "Don't make a decision when your decision maker's broken," to get some people around us who are a little bit older, perhaps a little bit wiser, who were invested in us as people, who wanted the best for us, but also the best for the kingdom of God. And I listened to them, and I took their advice, and we prayed, and God spoke to us. So we're still here. And now we work with Andy and Sue in a different way to perhaps we were thinking at the time, but it's great how God works it all out. When we are seeking wisdom, we pray to God, we ask God, get some people around us as well, people who are wise, people who have maybe just a bit ahead of us in terms of our faith. One of the funny things I think we can often do is, it's not funny things, but one of the things we often do is we ask our friends what they think when we're making decisions. Now, friends are great. Friends are there to encourage you to do life together. But sometimes there is a danger that your friends can tell you what you want to hear. I kind of liken it to being like imagine my daughter Thea, 4, or maybe when she was 3, like, you know, 3-year-olds do some silly things. because they're just exploring life and they just like want to go and grab anything. So if there's like a fire and a three-year-old's like, oh, look, there's a stick, they might be like, hey, turning to their friend, shall I just go and grab that stick? And their friend might be like, yeah, that's a great idea. And they go and grab this. That's not a great idea, is it? It's a dumb decision, a dumb choice. So sometimes we might need to find people who are perhaps just a little bit outside of the situation, friends of ours. If we've got things to do, things, decisions to make, let's get some people around us who perhaps a little bit outside of that process. But friends are also good too, particularly if they're godly friends. You can get some good wisdom for them. And whilst we've been at Fresh Streams, one of the things that was talked a lot about was millennials whilst we've been away. It's a if you don't know, it's a conference for Christian, for leaders, mostly within the Baptist family. Andy leads it with the team, and Hazel helps to organise a lot of it. One of the things we're talking about was millennials. One of the things people say about the millennial generation, millennials are from about the 1980s through to about 2000. It's a bit blurred. One of the things people say is that it's the depressed generation. It's a generation, a group of people who are isolated, lonely, and depressed in a time where actually technologically we are more connected than ever before, but actually there's an increase of isolation, an increase of depression, an increase of brokenness. And if you look even further afield, like the need for good wisdom in our nation, like this week has been a classic example of like, oh my goodness, will somebody please make some wise decisions and find a way forward, please God. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders in our nation that they would make some good, godly, wise decisions. Maybe they wouldn't even know that they're making godly, wise decisions, but they just need to make some wise decisions. Another thing that this passage talks about is you'll know what's right, you'll know what's fair, and you'll know what's just. Something about God's wisdom gives us the ability to discern what is right. And when it talks about right, it's talking about righteousness. It's talking about God's righteousness. What are the things that are righteous? What are the things that are unjust in our nation? What are the things that we do that perhaps need to be focused on actually being righteous or bringing justice, bringing good, godly justice in a world? We talk about things like food bank and CAP and all those kind of stuff, and just, you know, the social action things that we can be involved in and are involved in as a church are really good. We need to keep choosing to engage with those things. That comes out of good wisdom from God. This proverb talks a lot about seeking after wisdom, seeking after it, going after it. Then you'll know, it says, doesn't it? Then you'll know. If you seek it, like it's silver or hidden treasure. And whilst that's good, one of the things that we get later on in the Bible is Jesus. And Jesus likes to flip things on its head a little bit. And whilst we need to seek after wisdom and to be people who hunger for wisdom, it can kind of make it sound like we have to put the work in, the effort in. And whilst it's good to do stuff, our faith is an active faith, we need to be engaged in it. Actually, one of the things that Jesus says is, actually, I am drawing near to you. I have come. And one of the things we as Christians need to do is to grab hold of the fact that actually the fullness of wisdom is revealed in Jesus. The fullness of God is made real in Jesus. It says in, let me just check it. It says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. To 25. I'll just read the 24 actually. But to those who God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, Jesus, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Jesus is the wisdom of God. And when I was thinking about this, when I was praying into this, when I was thinking about how do we really grapple and get hold of wisdom as individuals, as a church? It's always Jesus, isn't it? Like, we always end up coming back to Jesus because it's all about Jesus. Like, it can't get away from the fact that it is Jesus. I want to encourage us. If you want wisdom in your life, if we want wisdom for us as a church, we've got things we're doing as a church, we're moving into, and, you know, the building, and, you know, what God's calling us to. We're setting budgets at the moment, which, although doesn't seem like an exciting thing, actually, I get really excited about it because budgets is about vision. It's about where we're going. It's about what we're doing. And actually, like, I'm excited because actually we're going after Jesus. And Jesus gives us the wisdom and the courage and the passion to do what he's called us to do. That actually, if we want wisdom like Proverbs talks about, the best thing you can do is go after Jesus. It's read about Jesus, study Jesus, talk about Jesus, sing about Jesus, think about Jesus, meditate on Jesus. Get to know Jesus more, and you will get to know wisdom more, because Jesus is wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. He is the fullness of God. He is wisdom incarnate, wisdom in flesh. Proverbs talks about wisdom being a woman, like as a picture, as an analogy, whatever that word is. The New Testament says that wisdom is found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom. I want to encourage you to go after Jesus, but actually, I want to encourage you to recognize that Jesus is going after you. Jesus is going after you. James talks about, he says, in chapter 4, verse 8, it says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. And then it says, wash your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts, those who are double-minded. And the second part of that verse, it sounds a little bit like harsh, but actually, I think what he's saying, come near to Jesus. Come near to God. Get your life sorted out by coming near to Jesus. You don't have to do it. Jesus does it for us. He's died on the cross. He's paid the price. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to put your faith and your trust in him, because he is worth it. He is so good. He has saved me. He's changed my life. And I want to know him more. I want to know him more. He is that good. Seek Jesus. But actually, he's already seeking you. He's already going after you. Some of us in this room, we might have decisions to make, seriously big decisions in our lives in this coming week, in this coming month, maybe this year. Things that you're not even planned for that might crop up, as life often does. We've heard things about cancer this morning being healed. No one plans to have cancer, but it happens to us. No one plans to have things that might pop up and come a bit left field. But actually, in those moments, if we're close to Jesus, Jesus is close to us. We know the path to take. We know which way to turn, what to do, how to respond. You know the classic bracelet, what would Jesus do? I'm like, let's expand on that. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus think? How would Jesus behave? How would Jesus respond? And how would he respond if he were you in your situation? What would he do? Those are the types of questions we need to be asking when we face decisions, when we face difficult stuff, or maybe when we face the small stuff. I believe wholeheartedly that God's kingdom is so much about your workplace, just as much as it is about the church place. It's about what happens tomorrow when you go to work. How does God's kingdom, how is God's kingdom influencing your workplace? Well, it's through you. It's through you living your life as a follower of this Jesus, who is the fullness of wisdom. And I pray as well for you, wherever you might find yourself, when you do have those decisions, when you do have those moments, that you would ask God in a meeting, I don't know, whatever it might be, when you're teaching children, if you're a teacher, when you're a nurse looking after people, a doctor, whoever you are, whatever it is that you do, that you'll know, yeah, I'm going to do this. Like divine inspiration from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus, as we seek to bring his kingdom, because we're going after him and his wisdom. Can I ask us to stand? And then the worship team are going to lead us in some worship.